Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Before you go, where do you think you're going? You never reached here. Sorry. You think that's all?
How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. Just as high as my wings can fly. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. My limit is beyond the sky. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. Just as high as my wings can fly. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. My limit is beyond the sky. They used to try to hold me, can't stop me now. Weight is what they told me, I can't hear it now. But now they wanna know me, I'm bling blinging now. Everybody's tripping cause Ray Ray's hidden. Members of the family I never met before are suddenly around me, knocking at my door with a half-assed story, looking for a cure. They want what I've been working for, but where the hell were they before? How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. Just as high as my wings can fly. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. My limit is beyond the sky. Baby mother's popping up, I don't know about. Claiming that they wanna cut up my bank account. Got the Sugar Ray touch, so I got my doubt. The DNA ain't matching up, cause I always back it up. Time for rearranging, those who wanna think. They tell me that I'm changing, thinking that I'm got chicken heads paging. Ain't life a bitch, ain't no time to play around. Moving on to higher ground. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. Just as high as my wings can fly. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. My limit is beyond the sky. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. Just as high as my wings can fly. How you gonna stop me when it's time to shine? I'm a flatbush player and my goals are high. My limit is beyond the sky.
Hello, and welcome back to the Purpose of Closure Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Cassandra Brand, a.k.a. Miss Galaxis. I miss you guys. I miss you, miss you, miss you. Had to revise myself a little bit. Sometimes we just be doing too much. Writing, publishing, Blog Talk Radio, book signings. It's a lot of work being a self-publisher. Well, I thank God I'm not complaining because it's a tough job. But if I can do it, you can do it. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today, about self-publishing. Today we were supposed to have a guest on the show today. And like I said, sometimes when you're a new author, some have to work and they have family. And a lot of times you just really don't know the back office of what needs to be done. But maybe we can, you know, catch up with them sometime soon again in the future. I wanted to share my story for inspiration on what inspired me to become self-published. Originally, I wrote my first book, and I started in 2008, and it was published in 2010. I'm not going to mention the name of the company, but it just totally ripped me off. I never received a brown penny from the company. How unfortunate. Well, not for me, but for them, because they did me a big favor. They only encouraged me, inspired me to go hard and stay focused and make it happen. And now today I'm going on my fourth published book, The Purpose of Closure. Altogether, there are 12 volumes, and we're going to get into that later on as well. You can get more information on my website, www.thepurposeofclosure.com. That's www.thepurposeofclosure.com. But first, let me give you a little bit of insight. Now, I read the first and second chapter in volume one on the purpose of my closure, how it began. And I was going to do a little bit of reading today from the third chapter, which is starting school. Now, for those of you who may listen to the archives or to the station earlier last week, we talked about the foundation of my family and then the neighborhood, and now we're going to enter into starting school, which is in 1969. I started elementary school located off of Fillmore in Genesee in Buffalo, New York. I attended Buffalo School 90 at the age of four. I remember all my teachers, beginning with Mrs. Holman, my kindergarten teacher. She was a white woman, very young and neat, with dark hair and past her shoulders. She was very nice and taught me art, be creative. This is when I began to develop an eye for color coordination and design. My favorite project was paper mache. My first day of school, my dad walked me to my class, and I was very excited and eager to start school. Leaving me in school for the first time, my dad left giving me a hug and kiss on my cheek. I was good to go, having all the school supplies and new clothes I needed. On the first day of school in class, we sat on the floor in a circle, introducing ourselves. I demanded to be the center of attention because I was the baby at home and my family gave me a lot of attention. I am the same way today, always demanding to be the center of attention, especially when I'm around my mom and dad. They still give it to me. To be completely honest with you, I love being the center of attention all the time, until my secret insecurities kick in. I'll share them with you later in this book of volumes. Now, I gave you a little insight about starting school, which is also very important when a child is starting school. School is not like it was in 1969, like I said before, where Black Americans were really, you know, civil rights was just in the beginning stage of it. And the school that I went to was such an impression in my early childhood school years that I can remember my teachers. They had such a great impression. I can remember the physical description of them. How many of our children can do that today? You can't tell the difference between the teacher and the kids. not trying to be funny. I'm just pitching, you know, painting this picture for you because we have a long way to go. But, you know, I want to put it out there just to give you something to think about, something to visualize about, you know, when you're sending your children to school. Or remember when you went to school and look at the difference now. Now children have to worry about visualizing being checked at the door, ducking bullets, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to be negative, but, you know, I just have to keep it 100, like I said before. And our parents, well, I remember my father taking me to school, walking me to my class, and making sure that I had all the school supplies and everything I needed. And he didn't just drop me off at the door or let me walk the door by myself. He made sure that I had everything I needed before he walked away. I will never, ever forget that first day of school. Never. We need more dads and moms like that. You know, we got carpools, and then we got, you know, the moms are so busy, they can't even watch the kids to get on the yellow bus or look out the window. You know, we have to be more alert and more attentive to our children. Now, I'm talking about kindergarten, my first year in school. So that was a very important year in my life. That's just like graduating from college. Okay. If you have any feedback or input on that, please feel free, like I said, to call in at 347-857-2805. That's 347-857-2805. Now, in Chapter 4, which is The Dad I Remember, we're going to begin now. Reading, beginning in 1970. I learned to talk back with an attitude, developing quickly, mentally and physically. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Jelly, sent me to Mrs. Meyer, the principal's office, for disturbing the classroom regularly. I was known as being the class clown. Like I said, I always demanded to be the center of attention. Mrs. Meyer was a tall, white woman, blue eyes, with blonde, big hair, full figure, and she wore large framed glasses. Miss Meyer walked me into her office, set me down across from her desk, read me the blue slip, and discussed with me what happened in class. If she thought I was behaving inappropriate, she would place me on in-house suspension or give me 2 or 3 smacks on my butt, the very thick paddle. Seemed to me about 4 to 5 inches thick and 2 feet long. Sometimes she called my father into school to straighten me out or take me home. Daddy was a disciplinarian in our home and the only parent who drove a car. For the simple reason, hold on 1 second, we got a caller coming in here. We have a caller in here now.
Hello.
Hey, Mr. Martin. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. How are you today? You're here live on. You're here live on Purpose of Closure, Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for calling in today. We were looking forward to hearing from you, so we just went on and started. So we got about 15 more minutes on the show. And you were telling me that you wanted to call in because you had a few things you wanted to discuss about the Purpose of Closure publishing company and the book, and, you know, the platform is yours. Can you take over right now?
Definitely. Thanks for having me, Cassandra. Are you doing all right tonight?
Oh, awesome. Doing great, doing great. I thank God that I'm 6 feet over and not under, so I'm alive and neither got another chance.
Amen. Well, there's a couple of things I wanted to ask you. And I've read your book. I love it. And thank you for taking this time out just to answer a few questions. And I hope this helps your listeners and your readers just find out a little bit more about you. And first off, you may have said this before, but, you know, what was your reason for writing The Purpose of Your Purpose of Black Closure?
You know, Mr. Martin, it was for me to get closure. Number one, was very therapeutic, but I was called to write that. I was called to write because everything that I lived through had a purpose. And if you recall reading the beginning of the book, I was spiritually summoned to write that book because there was an erosion in my life that came to head that needed to be addressed and needed closure in order for me to enter into my purpose.
Understood. Understood. And I completely understand that, and I can see it in your book when you're writing and when I'm reading it, and I see that you have gone through some things. Speaking of some of the things that you've gone through, after writing this book and realizing that, you know, it's helped you heal and realizing that it could potentially help others heal, did you face any kind of difficulties with publishers getting this out to them or trying to get this in the hands of other people?
Absolutely. I did mention in the beginning of this segment, this episode here, that I did use a company. I'm not going to use a name. And I was promised the world and given nothing. I never received a dime or a brown penny. And it was a horrible experience. I wouldn't wish it upon anyone. And that is why my effective goal in the future is to start some workshops and, you know, maybe get into some publishing to help others, you know, not experience what I've been through, but can experience what I'm going through now as well. I definitely wouldn't advise anyone to sign up with a publishing company that's online that you cannot meet face-to-face or talk to over the phone and that offers you a 7-year contract with no money down.
A 7-year contract with no money down?
Meaning that wow. They put me into a 7-year contract. And I never received a dime. They promised all these things, and I'm not going to get into the name of the company, but, you know, it was new to me, and they took me on. I was so excited. I just wanted the opportunity to get my book out there. The contract, you know, was pretty good. You know, but they did not keep their word. So all I'm saying is that was like a nightmare. But it inspired me and it made me stronger. And that's why I have the drive that I have today. Because I'm not going to let no one steal my dream. And I'm not going to let no one pimp it, abuse it, take advantage of it, because this is something that God put into me.
Amen. And that definitely comes through in your work. When you're writing and we're reading through your story and what's been going on with you, I can definitely see that this is something that has been heavy on your heart and that you're releasing. I've also heard a lot of horror stories about publishing companies, even some other publishing companies, not just like the one that you just mentioned there, but some of them locking your ideas up or stealing your work from you. How were you able to get out of that contract with them?
using wisdom. At this time, I'm not able to really answer that question, but I will tell you this. It really hindered me from moving forward. And I was advised to another person who was an author, and when they gave me instructions, I just ran with it. And there's nothing this published company can really say, because if they come to me with it, they're going to have to expose themselves. because their paperwork is not straight. So I didn't really get out of it. They put themselves out of it because it wasn't legal in the first place. And that's just how I look at it. I don't mean like legal, like it was something illegally, you know, criminal or anything like that. You know, it's just that they breached their own contract because they did not do anything they said they were going to do. And I never received a dime. And I know for a fact that books were bought from that publishing company. And I've never been credited, not one dime for it.
So they sold your work, and you did not see a penny of it at all?
Nope. And when I looked online, I saw my book on sale all over the country.
Well, I hope, you know, the other self-published or authors or the people who are out there getting ready to put pen to paper are listening, because that pen to paper, sorry, got a little tongue-tied. I hope they're listening, because that is always something that we both know and understand, that bad contracts will hinder you, will slow you down. And as I was saying before, I've heard of authors completely losing rights to characters and worlds, you know, in fiction that they've come up with. So I'm definitely happy that you were able to get out of that. And then, in fact, heck, keep the rights to your own story, your own legacy, your own life. That would have been so horrible if you hadn't been able to share this with people, share this word with people that you have that could eventually help others to get through things and get through some troubles and trials and tribulations in their lives. So I'm glad you were able to do that.
Absolutely. So am I, because I was devastated. I was mentally and emotionally distraught for almost 2 years, and that is the God's heaven truth. I wanted to crawl up underneath the rock. No sense of direction, felt alone, felt used, taken advantage of, and no one really believed or saw what I seen until like the second and the third vial come out. Then, you know, everybody crawls up underneath the rock. But the publishing company itself, they messed up on the first because, you know, they're so greedy, you know, for the first volume. They're missing all out on, you know, number 2 to 12. And what they promised to do anyway, basically, I've done for myself. Whatever I did in the world, I just took it and flipped it for the glory of God and for my own company.
Amen. Amen. And speaking of you turning this into your own company and making moves on your own, what hardships have you faced as a self-published author, and what kind of, you know, struggles do you have to face now as far as getting out there and grinding this out and, you know, basically managing your own career, being your own advertising, your own agent, your own, you know, your own marketing? How difficult has that been?
Well, I've never been a lazy person. I believe in working, because if you don't work, you don't eat. And like I said, the same thing I did when I was Miss Alexis, I stayed on my grind. So really, I just took it and flipped it. But my hardship is balance. Balance. Because I am a woman. I am a mother. I am a daughter. And I'm also a spiritual woman, then you have to write. And because my writing is so real, it's not made up. I dig deep from my emotions, my spirit, and my mind. And the transition of going back and forth and balancing it, I would say that's a lot of hardship, because sometimes I lock myself down for a week or sometimes 30 days. I might not write anything but maybe a chapter or half a chapter, because I have to relive all that. And I go through that by myself. Now, my first volume, I did have some support. A shout out to Jean Shelby and his wife, Rapunzel Shelby, who are very good friends of mine for the last past 19 years. And they really helped me mentally and emotionally go through that first stage. But then after that, you know, I had to really just ride it out by myself. So my hardship is the reliving as I write it down on paper.
Wow. Wow. That is definitely, yeah, because when I read this, you know, reading through Volume 2, and I see, which I can only imagine how hard it is to kind of go through to relive, because when you're writing, it's like reliving those traumas all over again, right?
Yes, but it's also, once it's put down on paper, it's the release that comes. It's the closure that comes. And then once the closure and the release comes, then I can enter to my divine purpose, not only just going and sharing the testimony, you know, and sharing the story with people, but I'm free. I'm free. I could be me. Oh. And everything I've been through has made me who I am today.
I like that, Cassandra, and I know people appreciate that. And then the last question here, because I see we only have a few more minutes remaining, but I just let everybody know, you know, the authors out there and then the people that read your book, kind of give each one of them, you know, like for the authors, what would you like them to learn from you as a self-published woman doing it and doing it well today?
Research. First of all, pray. Ask God for guidance. Do your research. Be around like-minded people. You can't get turnip out of a rock. Surround yourself with people that are positive, that have something in common with you. And when you start writing, a lot of people go, you know, probably laugh or shuck it off, but to stay focused. It's not hocus. Now, J. Martin, I don't mean to cut you off, but we do have 2 minutes and 44 seconds here. And I want to give a shout-out to you as a new up-and-coming author. And what is your website? Where can we find your books at now?
My books, you can find my books on www.indiepublisherbookstore.com. And there's a link there for all my stories that I've written, primarily poetry at this time, but I'm also working on a couple of new things as well, and that's www.indiepublisherbookstore.com. Or you can go to my author page at www.jrnmartin.com. And on the Indie Publisher Bookstore, I'll be having your book listed as well, Cassandra. That way people can check you out and be able to read your words and kind of see what you've been going through, and hopefully they'll be able to follow the entire series from there.
We're going to definitely have to do this again. We're going to definitely do this again. But once again, we want to just for the co-host, J. Martin, author and publisher. And he's giving the information, and also you can reach us at www.thepurposeofclosure.com. Also, the books are found on Amazon. Just type in J. Martin Publisher or The Purpose of Closure. Google that, and you'll find us. But until then, we just want to thank you for joining us. We hope that you got something out of this. And all I want to say is peace, joy, happiness, stay focused. Because God is real and God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Right where you are, somebody lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, call his name now. We're standing in his face. How would you act? Call his name, Jesus. I'm ready. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, call his name, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, turn it up for me. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's it, because you have relationship. Calling his name, not because you've been instructed, but because you have relationship. Somebody say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. We know where the power is. We know where the power is. We know where the power is. There is power. In the name of Jesus, there is power.